Tarka. We're starting by Yibrak David. Mina. What do you guys have? Minayos?
Minayos.
Minavos? Yeah. Minayos. Okay.
Ramal. Neighbor in northern Jerusalem called Nayos.
Yeah, is that what it is? So maybe it's around there. He ran away from Nayos and Ramal. But Yomer with Nayonas, and he ran and came in front of Yos and Masi. What have I done? What's my transgression? What's my sin in front of your father that he's looking for my soul? Notice, by the way, David Melech is overstating the obvious. He's saying he like physically unburdened himself. But you can't do that to a Melech. Even though David Melech himself was still a Melech, right? Even though he himself was a very, very, he was a very holy person, everything like that, you cannot say about any king, even if you feel that they're doing something wrong, you cannot say about him, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong to him. Nonetheless, that's not respect.
That's supposed to be the reason. He doesn't give him the respect, he's going to die.
That's a great call. Don't be as direct. Just say like, is there anything I can do in order to get out of the bad graces of the king? Instead of saying, what do I do? That's not the way to say it. It's just a little bit off. Said Yonah's son, Khalil, you're not going to die. He said, if my father would do anything, big or small, you don't think he would tell me? How could it be that my father is hiding this from me? Inzos, it's not happening. Don't be afraid. Don't worry whatsoever. Now, the fact is, he was wrong. Yonatan was wrong. Shaul at this point had determined he was going to kill David Melech no matter what the cost. It was going to happen no matter what.
And he had justification too in his own mind.
He felt that
from
he was, yeah.
His daughter.
100% he thought from Michal.
His daughter claimed that she ran away from David.
Which was Michal?
She ran away from him.
Because Michal had was in the same, they were married together, right? And David Melech, Michal told David, run away tonight because you're going to be killed. Oh. The next morning, the officers came in, David HaMelech had already run away, and they put some type of a statue or something in his place, in the bed, so they thought it was David HaMelech, they found it wasn't, and when Shaul grabbed Michal and said, why did you do such a thing, Michal, out of fear, said, he grabbed me and said, let me go, or else I'll hurt you, or something like that. So in his mind, Shaul HaMelech's mind, David HaMelech deserves something right now. Either way, at some point over the next parts of this narrative over here, Yonatan is convinced that, you know what, really my father is going to kill David HaMelech, and he realizes there's something up over here. He could no longer deny the truth.
Do we know if Yonatan knew that David was going to be the king?
Yes, for sure he did.
At this point.
He's going to say it later on as well. There's no question that either he knew something was going to happen, even if he didn't know he was already mamluk. He might not have known that Shmuel and Avi actually did something, but there's no question he knew. David again swore, and he said, your father knows that I found favor in your eyes. And he said, don't let Yonatan know this, because he's going to be upset. But I'm telling you, I am a step away from death. That's what he's going to keep. What he meant by a step away from death is, remember, he was already throwing the spear at him 4 times, and each time he's able to escape with just barely getting around, just barely being able to out over there. That's the idea behind it. Now, but Yomi Yonatan Ol David, Matom Renavshkal Vasalach. So Yonatan is already convinced. He says, like, all right, what do you want me to do? Just tell me what you need me to do, and I'll do it for you. I'll do anything I can. Yomi David Yonatan, he needs Chodesh Machar. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Okay? The Anochi Yoshev Ashev Imam Elach. I normally sit together with the king. Lachol, in order to eat, Yishilach, even if Darki, but Sodad, Erev Ashlish. Now listen, I'm going to go, you're going to send me right now, right? I'm going to go hide in the field until the third evening. Now, there was a minute to have Rosh Chodesh parties, right? Rosh Chodesh parties all over the place, and they had them all the time to be able to do, okay? Now, back then, it seems like they had still had two-day Rosh Chodeshes, and that's what happens over here. There was the day before Rosh Chodesh and the day of Rosh Chodesh itself. So even though we say this Haftorah on Machar Chodesh, even if the 30th day is on Sunday, right? Even though really Machar Chodesh is really the 30th.
We celebrate Rosh Chodesh.
I know. I'm just saying, even though we do Machar Chodesh on the 29th, even though he's calling Machar Chodesh the 30th day of the month. That's what he's doing. Tomorrow is the Chodesh, meaning the full 30th day of the month.
No, it could have been the 30th day.
I understand. It's just that it's not the way we do it nowadays. If your father should miss me, and you should say, David HaMelech had asked me for permission to go back to Bethlehem, his city. Because there's a korban there, there's a yearly sacrifice there for the entire family. Now, what does that mean? Zevach HaYamin is a kasha. Some say it's a yearly, you know, celebration. Some say it's a monthly celebration. Some say that it was going to celebrate the anointment of David HaMelech as king, because he was anointed a year ago to that day. No, so some say that that was what he was referring to and sort of like hinting something. If he says good, then all will be good for your servant. But if he gets angry, then you should know that it's really, really bad. If he's getting angry when I'm not even there, when you're telling him that I left for a good reason, apparently, then it's got to be really bad. Right? Then I want you to do a bris together with your servant, with me. If I have a sin, and if you find something wrong with me, said to Yonasan, then you kill me yourself. I don't want your father to get a hold of me. And the reason why is simple. Your father is going to torture me. And I don't want that to happen. I want no torture. Just do it yourself.
Isn't that what Saul said at the end of his life, that he didn't want the flesh to torture him?
100%.
So that
that's exactly what happened. If anybody's on Khalilah, far be it from you. Can you imagine that I knew that my father had something against you and I wouldn't tell you? There's no way. Now, notice, by the way, of what he said over here. He says, Khalilah, Kim Yadoa Eda Kikosa Rami Imavi. Right? If Khalilah, if I knew that the evil was from my father, usually that ends with a shua. Like, I should die if I didn't tell him. But he wouldn't say it, because I'll sit up the table with something. You understand? Sort of said, like, can you imagine if I wouldn't tell you? I'll tell you, don't worry. He said it in that way because he never wanted to say even bad words from his lips, Yonasan. It shows the tzitzkus of Yonasan. Plus, it's yud. Now, Yomer Dabri Yonasan, me yagid li, omayan called Yichakasha. Who's going to tell me, said Yonasan? Who's going to tell me if your father has answered you in a harsh way? Now, Yomer Yonasan, O David, let's go out to the field. Now, it seems that Yonasan realized that people were listening into their conversation. It wasn't just nothing. People knew that Yonasan and David were in cahoots with one another, and they also knew that David HaMelech was hated by Shaul HaMelech. So people started listening in. There was that guy mopping the floors who was just, had his ears open for something like that. People were hearing him and saying, okay, let's go figure out what's going on over here. But Yonasan said to David, by the name of God, at this time, tomorrow, Ashlishis, right, by that time, I'm going to ask. If it's good to David, good. And if it doesn't happen then I'm going to send to you and I'm going to reveal to you what's going to happen. May God do this and even more to Yonasan. Right? I'm sure my father, again, you see a dot, dot, dot. If I don't, whatever. My father, I'm sure, is thinking good things. I will try to make it right, all that evil that he thinks about you. Then I'll tell you. I'll send you away. You go in peace. And God should be with you the same way that he was with my father. Right here is a line that David HaMelech was told by Yonasan, the same way God was with my father when he was king, God should be with you when you're going to be king. And that's going to be the line over here, and that's what he was referring to over here. Being lo imo deni chai, I will not ask of you while I still live. Right? I'm not going to ask you to do Hashem's kindness before I die. And therefore, you should not forget your chassid with my house forever. Right? In other words, don't forget me. David, right? You shouldn't forget, I guess, that when the enemies of David are all cut down or anything like that happens, ish me'al p'nei ha'adama, every single person off the face of the earth. In other words, what Yonasan was saying is, promise me that you won't harm my family. That when the time comes, you're not going to do anything to my family. The problem with that is it seems that David Melech did do harm to Yonasan's family. What happens later on? Remember when Nod Hira Kohanim is destroyed, and then there's all those people, the Givonim, that were giving them water all the time.
He waited.
And the Givonim were upset, and David HaMelech saw that there was a famine for 3 years, and it says Ella Givonim. He went to the Givonim, and the Givonim said, "We want to kill 7 of Shaul's children."
But Yaron decided who those 7 are.
That's true, but nonetheless, in the end, he did kill Yonasan's kids.
What about that one? What about the crippled one?
Yeah, Mephibosheth remained. He remained, but everybody else was killed by David HaMelech.
And then, but I thought that David HaMelech waited till he almost died, and he told Shlomo to take care of certain people.
That's everybody else.
That was all it was with Noah, though, for killing for vengeance against them. That was the guy who cursed him too, and all that other stuff.
No.
Property, and he gave it back.
Half.
Ziva was the one.
But that happened before him. That happened way before him. That was the other one.
So what was left?
That was the end when he came back from.
That wasn't that. That's not by Shlomo. That's not what he's talking about. Yeah,
but what was left of Shaul's house?
Oh, right.
At the end of the day, who survived?
Just Mephibosheth.
Did Mephibosheth have kids?
Yeah, we think so. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure he did. They had to, because Mordecai came from Shaul. And so did Esther. But you
course,
the only
thing he came from Shaul. Father's family, not necessarily from Shaul.
Shaul and Kish. No, it says Shaul also.
Right, so Mordecai comes from Kish.
No, it's Shaul also. Shaul also. Gemara Bracha says that Esther is from Shaul. Esther from Shaul. But Yichos Yonasan and Beis David, Vikash Hashem Yad Oyvi David. So Yonasan and David made a bridge together. Who Vikash Hashem and said, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask or destroy all the enemies of David and Melech.
Yonasan
and the kids? What? I mean, all of them are going to be killed except for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is going to be around. Okay, that's that. By the way, David also said, you have to safeguard my wife. Michal was now in Yonasan's hands, because Michal, who is Shaul's daughter,
healthy but not there.
Not yet. Healthy but alive, she was not given yet. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but it was already...
We're going to see, I mean, but it hasn't been given over yet. That hasn't happened. Merab was given away. Michal was not yet. But Yosef Yonasan Lashbias, David Babas, also Kiavas Nashua Hebo. Then Yonasan decided to make another oath with David HaMelech because they loved each other, right? He has a Abbas Nebesh. This is all to make sure that it would happen with his descendants. It could be that he was questioning the sincerity. I don't know if that's the actual idea. The real idea is he just wanted to make sure that it would be said over and over and over again that his kids would not die in the hands of David HaMelech. Yonasan said, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and you're going to be missed because your seat is going to be empty. Okay, so that's the idea. So that now he's going back to the plan, they're reviewing the details, they're going over everything that has to be done, right, and going through everything. Okay, so that's that. Bishilashta Tered. On the third day, Tered Ma'od, you're going to be missed very much, because remember, Shaul HaMelech always got worse when David HaMelech wasn't around playing the harp. So that was there. So you're going to go to the place where you hid on the day of that Misa, and that area, I want you to hide right around somewhere. You should sit right near the marker stone. Now, I think what it means by the Evan Ezel is there was always a marker stone used for shooting arrows. Bows and arrows, they used to have a little thing. Okay, exactly. So it was something like there. Go to over there. Go over to that area, and that's that. And that's the idea behind it. And that's what he was trying to do. Now, it says, what else is it? Okay. Bani Shaloshes. Another way of learning it is, on which they spoke, it was Shabbos, right? This chapter is read as the Haftorah whenever the day before Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos. This is like a line of Yom HaMaaseh. We go ahead and we talk about this as a hint to us reading on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Okay, here we go. It says, Vani Shlosh Tachitim Tzida Ora L'Shav L'Matara. I'm going to shoot three arrows on the side of it, and as if I was shooting at a target. So what he was trying to do is he was trying to say this was going to be some way of indicating what would be. The three arrows represented Lashon Hara. That Lashon Hara is as great as the three big sins, or it represents the three people who get killed by Lashon Hara. The one who speaks it, the one who is spoken about, as well as the person who hears it. Then since Shaul was guilty of accepting Lashon Hara from Billy Gadoni, that was the problem, that three arrows should be the hint of what happens to Lashon Hara. Bine Eshlach Zanar, I'm going to send out the Nar, and if I say, Lech Mitzvah Sechitim, go, find the arrows. Im Amora Mar Lenar, if I tell the kid, hey, the arrows are closer. They're closer to me. Take them and come. Then you should come, grab those arrows, he said to David HaMelech, and come to me. You don't have to worry about anything. Everything will be perfectly fine. That was the idea behind it. So that's what they used to do. They used to shoot their arrows and then the servants fetch them and bring it back and everything like that. And that was the idea behind it. So that's that. Okay? Now, Vim Ko Yomar, right? If I say to the kid, the arrows are even further from you, then get out of here. That means that God has sent you away and you shouldn't be here anymore.
But that makes sense. Yeah. But at the end of the day,
hold on. And as for the matter which we spoke about, that should be a bridge between me and you forever. Whatever happens, happens, because I'm probably not going to see you ever again. Again, if it's on the other side of you, that means his anger has gone further than what it should have. Kislev, and that means that Shaul HaMelech is gone out of control, and that was happening right now, and that's going to be really, really bad. Okay, so that's the idea behind it.
Why is Amram going to see him again? Because he knows that he's going to die?
Yes.
Your son knows that he's going to die.
That he himself is for sure not going to be there when Dovid HaMelech comes back.
Why is that? Why, how does he know that?
Probably from the punishment of being together with Shaul HaMelech, but I don't know how he knew it. But remember, he did know that he was cursed already by Shaul HaMelech.
That's what I'm saying. Is it from
the curse? Yeah, so it could be from
her. Because if Shaul's mouth is bending and Dovid's becoming king and safe from our hiding, he's assuming that all Shaul's descendants are wiped out.
I guess so. It very well could be, but we know that Ishbosheth did take over. There was an Ishbosheth that came. But I hear the sign over here. By the way, did you notice the change in the Lashon over here? In the first pasuk it said Elam, and then it says, what was it on the first time? It said Nar. Yeah. In Chaf Aleph it says Nar, and in Chaf Beis it says Elam. If you put Nar and Elam together, it stands for the word Ne'elam, which is hidden and unknown. And he's trying to say that if there's a danger, then Dovid HaMelech should remain hidden and unknown even to the servant. No one should know that you're here. If anybody knows that here, things can get very, very dangerous. Pass is over. Okay, so let's go over here. Now we got Chav Dalet over here. Chav Dalet. He says, Sir David Basada. So David hid in the field. Vayachodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh. Vayishav HaMelech HaMelechol. Right? So the king sat down to eat. Vayishav HaMelech HaMoshav. He was sitting on his regular seat, Kippam B'Pam, as he usually did. Moshav HaKir, right by the wall. The Yakum Yonasan Vayishav Avner Mitzad Shol Vayipakid Mekom David. Yonasan stood. Yonasan was standing behind his father Shaul HaMelech. Avner was on the side of Shaul, and David's place, which was on the side of what's it called, of Avner, right on the other side of Avner, that was empty. For whatever reason, they were like that. Yes,
why do we care that his seat was by the wall?
It's to explain how they used to sit. They sat in a semicircle, like the Knights of the Round Table. Sat in a semicircle with Shaul HaMelech on one side, right like the Sanhedrin was supposed to be. What it should have been, right, was supposed to be like this. Shaul HaMelech, Avner, and maybe Dovid HaMelech on this side, and Yehonasan over there, or Dovid and Yehonasan. Regardless, Yehonasan told David to go away, so he was missing over there, and the Yehonasan, right, instead went to the right and let Avner sit in David HaMelech's place. Somehow, something must have happened regarding
this. This is kind of difficult.
I'm sorry?
Conversation would be kind of difficult.
Why?
You're all sitting in a table like this.
We're doing okay.
The wall. Well, no, we're all in a circle, more or less.
Semicircle. Semicircle.
No, but you're in front of us.
Yeah, he's saying to us.
If you were sitting,
No, I'm sorry. Here, it's like this. Here is the table.
Right.
Okay, and they're all sitting like this. Shaul HaMelech is right there, and each one is sitting like that.
That's still not like across from someone. It's like you're still like.
Yeah, but
that's pretty much how all not initiative, but like administrative places like.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think they are.
Yeah.
Like the head guy is the most important.
But think about it. Every township has the same type of table.
Yeah, but usually there's somebody like talking to them. So usually that way people.
Oh, he comes up and talks.
No, but that way people can come and talk to them. But here, who's coming to talk to them at a party?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, maybe the shot is that the Shaul HaMelech was not allowed to speak, and it was considered kabbalistic if you wanted to speak to him, even if you're sitting right next to him, you had to get up and go into the middle. Maybe that was supposed to be. I don't know. I mean, we don't know anything about kings. We really have no clue when it comes.
Do they sit on couches or when it?
It could be the one on couches, you know, but the table was there. There were tables in front.
Maybe that's where the food was in the middle.
No, they're like, yeah, the food was just there.
Maybe that was an easy access for the food.
So in Chavav, it says, "Lo giver shalom u'ma v'yomahu." So Shaul HaMelech didn't say anything on that day. Kilmar, because he said to himself, "Mikrehu." Okay, he had a mikre. Bilti torhu, kilo tor. He's not tor, because he's not tor. Now, his line is like this. It's a weird line, right? He's not tor, because he's not tor. We learned this in Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok HaKohen said, mikre is different from shekhva zera levatol. Shekhva zera levatol is when you have an admission, which is on purpose, which a person does some type of thing, in which that is tumah because of what's involved in that. Keri is when a person at night has an admission without realizing that he had it. Now, whether you have shekhla zera levatala or keri, that means you're a tvul yom when you go to the mikvah that day. A tvul yom could not eat certain parts of kudshim, which meant that he wouldn't be able to eat a shaul HaMelech's table, who was eating kudshim at the time. He was eating a shlomim at the time. They always eat kudshim at the the table. He said, Mikrehu, Bilti Tahorhu. He is not Tahor. Why? Kilo Tahor. He's not a Tahor person in the first place. He's Tame person in the first place. Therefore, he had a Mikra at night, and therefore, he's not Tahor today, and that's why he didn't come to the party. He's like corroborating with his whole theory in the first place. David Melech, he's really a piece of garbage in the first place. He really doesn't belong anywhere. He's just not. Really dark. He's not a.
Invited to his party if he was so. He hated him so much.
This, I think, was the plan. He was going to kill him at that party, thinking he would be there, and that was going to be the party we're there. But again, remember, he kept having these evil thoughts that just got worse and worse and worse and worse. That's the idea behind it.
I think the reason why he was there is to kind of show high up servant he was like the.
He was the top guy. No, that's 100%. Boy, that's that. There's another line, right? You have to avoid foul or unclean language. He said, Bilti Torhu, instead of saying the word, Tamehu. Sholem Elk would not even say the word Tameh. And that's the idea behind it, and that's what it was. Okay, there's a bunch of different things, okay? Sholem Elk never assumed that David had entertained evil thoughts. Rather, on the first day, he attributed David's accents to a mikra. Alternatively translated as an unexpected occurrence. Okay, just like that. Something unforeseen has come up, he said, and that's why David has not come. It cannot be that he's without purity, as he would be only without purity if he entertained evil thoughts. And there's no way David Melech never had evil thoughts. Okay, and then that, the next day, and he's like, hold on a second. Wait a second here. And it's 2 days in a row? That's crazy. Another way is that he says, who says that David had an accidental pollution? When anyone says this, it is a sign that he himself is not a pure person. Avraham Avinu wouldn't allow people to come into his tent if they weren't pure. So clearly there's something wrong over here.
I don't know if they were pure.
The Elon, the little Eshel tree. If the shade of the tree went on the person, he knew that they were pure. If the shade did not go on the person, he knew that they weren't. Crazy, isn't it?
They don't have any chance of purity. They don't have to go to the mikvah or anything.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know. Anyway, that's that. Also, a third way of looking at it is that you only see in others what you have in yourself. Right? Meaning he looked at him and said,
rejecting?
Yeah. That guy's a reject. That guy's not Tor. When really he's speaking about himself. Sholem Elok saying about
Tor,
himself.
How would he eat the kachim at his table?
What?
How did he?
It wasn't literally that he wasn't Tor. He's like, oh, that guy's such a Russia. He's not pure in that way. Not that he's not Tor, not that he's Tomei, but rather he's a bad person. And that's what he's saying.
So
he's really saying it about
part,
himself.
First, I mean, if we're learning how to speak from Shol in this pasuk, then he's giving down the
that's not, yeah. That's not the pshat. Yeah, that's not this pshat. But you know, it was on the second day. On the second day of Rosh Chodesh. But Yipokid Malkum David, and again, David Melech was missing. Couldn't understand it. But Yorshol Yonasan Bino. Yorshol said to Yonasan his son, Maduolo Babin Yishai Kansamon Gami Yololacha. So why didn't David Melech come yesterday or today to the bread itself? Now, the Miyam Lois goes for a while over here and trying to understand why there were 2 days mentioned over here. It could be that the Edom came a little bit late. It could be that there was an added year over here. This year they decided to make an over year instead of a regular year, and they changed it that night. Who knows what happened?
But regardless, how did you know that ahead of time? How did David Yonatan know that it was going to be a 2 day Rosh Chodesh?
That's a
maybe
good call.
It was going to be a 1 day Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a very, very good call. And said, that sounds more like the first shot. Vayan Yonatan is Shol, Nish only shall David Meima, the Ad Beis Lachem. Yonatan said to Shol, listen, David Melech asked permission from me to go to Beis Lachem. And he said, please let me go. We have a sacrifice of the family over there in the city. Right? And he said, right, my brothers have commanded me to be there. Now, I told you, if I found favor in your eyes, is what David Melech said to Yonasan. Let me escape, and I will see my children, my brothers. And that's why, says Yonasan, he concluded, that's why he hasn't come to the.
He asked permission from me, the prince, instead of asking the king. Why wouldn't he ask Shaul? Let's say Shaul wasn't trying
to. In the stead of the king.
Right.
Well, then he doesn't want to lead on that David. You're saying, the way he's saying it is that, you know, that Shaul's expectation is that Yonasan will take over and become king.
No, I know that, but still, why is he asking permission from Yonasan, not from Shaul?
I think Yonasan was still in charge of most of the things in the household. I think he still had that right, or whatever it was. It could be Yonasan was the general of the army, right? He was there. Avner Ben-Ner was important, but maybe not as important as Yonasan was at the time.
Probably a nice way of saying,
by the way, did anybody notice the wording over here? Nish'ol nish'al David? The real line should be Sha'ol Sha'al David. And he asked the question. But he didn't want to say the word Sha'ol in front of his father. Sha'ol. So he used the word Nish'ol Nish'al.
But that also means, but the Lashon of Nish'ol Nish'al means that his his family asked him back.
Yeah, that's the other way of looking. It wasn't David who asked it. It was Eliyahu who really asked it. And he was the one who wanted it to be. That's there. But he's the one who did it. Yes.
What's the significance of Saul referring to David as Ben Yishai? I mean, he already called him Ben Yishai. We'll do it again in Laman. Is it like to denigrate him?
Yes, 100%. Ben Amram is the line that they used for Moshe Ben when they were always angry at him. What is Ben Amram? Is this the only thing that Ben Amram has done for us? Is what Kohen said to the people by the miraculous. The Malachim said, why is Ben Amram among us? It's like we don't even want to know his name.
Yeah, but it's Yishai, like yelling at somebody by their last name, basically.
Yeah,
but Yishai was the man. He had 600 Talmidim.
No, that is true. No, that's true. But he's only a Ben Yishai. He himself is not kosher. Himself, now, what do you call him? Like, the grandson of Obed. Like, that's a little bit off, you know? Either way.
It's like when people refer to the president by his middle name just to stick it to him.
Yeah, just, yeah, I would do that to people. Come on. Yonah, get over here. Bring it over here. Bring it over here. But Yichar Absol Yonasan. So Saul got angry at Yonasan. Benavat Hamardus. This is good stuff. Come over here. A wanton and rebellious child. Hello, Yadati Kibokra. Told him, Yishai, don't you know that I know that you. I love this. Don't I know that you have chosen Ben Yishai Levashima for your embarrassment of Elbosha Zerva Simecha and for the embarrassment of the Erva of your mother? People are going to think that you don't want to become king because you think that you're a mamzer. That's how far Saul went with this. And that it looks like you're allowing David HaMelech to become king instead of you. And therefore it makes your mother look bad.
Why would he think that he is a mamzer? Why would he?
People will look at it and be like, why isn't Yonasan the next king? Why is David HaMelech going to be the next king? It must be there's something wrong with his lineage. Oh, must be. Yonasan is a shtickle. Also, how did Saul HaMelech get his wife? Does anybody remember?
Oh yeah, they came to the dance in the field.
They came to the dance in the field, and all the young men went to go find wives, and one of the women chased after the men. One woman chased after the men. She saw Saul HaMelech. Saul HaMelech decided he was not taking a wife from these women because he couldn't do it. So he started running away. And this girl ran after him, Ritzvah Bat Aya, ran after him and captured him. Ben Navas Tamardus, you're a person who's going to get what he wants and you're chasing after something. Just like your mother did that to me, you're doing that to David HaMelech. So I see what this is. Yeah. No, it's brought down in the Midrashim in Parshas Shoftim, but that's where it is. But I could read it to you if you want, but that's the idea. And he went, and that's what ended up happening over there. Yeah, but that's the idea behind it. It's unbelievable, but that's the idea of what it was supposed to be altogether. Okay, anyway, that was that. Let's go on. Oh, this is the whole thing about Tu B'Av, I think. Okay, there we go. Ki kol hayomim. Ki kol hayomim. Asher ben Yishai chayel adoma. All the days that David HaMelech is alive on this ground, you and your malchus will never be. Now go and get him for me. Ki ben mavasu. Because he is the son of David HaMelech. Right? That's what ended up happening over here. He's the son of David HaMelech. Sorry, he's the son of dead. He is a dead man to me. That's really what it is. He is a dead man to me. So the Yonasan is Shoal of these. Yonasan answered Shoal's off the Yomer 11. He said to him, Lama Yomas, why should he die? Ma'asa, what has he done wrong? By Yotol Shoal Zachanis Dolom Lakoso. Shoal picked up his spear to kill his own son. Picked up his spear, threw it at Yonasan. But Yedi Yonasan ki kolohime imaviv. Mommy says, David. And then Yonasan knew, yeah, it's over. It's time. There's no question. He wanted to kill David HaMelech. Okay? Yonasan is allowed to get up and say such a thing. He was allowed to get up and say what he was supposed to do. Nonetheless, it was too much. You have to give Musar. You have to give Musar, even to the king. Even to the king if it's something that was very, very wrong. And in Yonasan's mind, this was extremely, extremely wrong. But not only was he angry at David HaMelech, at Saul HaMelech, at his father, he looked over everybody else. He's like, I'm there. What's going on here? Why are you letting the king get away with this? He's looking at everybody around him. He's like, what has David HaMelech done to any of you? What have you done? Turning to Abner, turning to Doeg.
The king is the final say.
So everybody should get up and realize that there's something wrong here. Now, you're right. They're not really used to having kings. They're used to having shoftim, in which they could argue argue with the shofet. They're not used to having a king where somebody can get up. But he did show great respect to Shlomo Melech, even though he chose that you have to admonish a person if you have to admonish him. Yonatan got up from the table in true anger. He did not eat for the rest of the day of Rosh Chodesh. He was so upset about David Melech because his father was shaming him completely. He was so angry that that didn't happen, that he wasn't able to save David Melech, that that was the reason why he wouldn't eat anything whatsoever. Okay, it was in the morning. Yonatan went out to the field of Moed David at the time that they had designated. And a small youth together went with him. Again, he didn't want to do it immediately afterwards. If he did it immediately afterwards, you never know what's going to happen. Somebody might see in, somebody might be like, why is Yonatan shooting arrows randomly in the field? So that's why. He didn't want anything. And because he took such a small youth, he would never suspect of what was going on. That was part of the whole thing. It would be then so that nobody would know. Also, it was very early in the morning. Very early in the morning so that everybody else would either be a davening, or it would be too early for them to get up, and thus they would never know what was going on.
Yeah, no,
they had something, some type of tefillah, because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov still davened. So they had some type, even though it wasn't the same Shemoneh Esrei as what we have nowadays. They did have something. But Yom Elanara, remember, we learned all of our halachos of davening from Chana. All of our halachos come from what Chana did.
It was like
Daniel.
A prayer. So it was like she needed to pray for something, so she went to pray for something.
I understand, but the way we daven is still learned from her. So well, our normal way of
daven. Right, so that's my point.
If you went out and around, you can do whatever you want. And by the way, remember, Binyamin, we learned that three times a day from Daniel. Daniel was before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He did this during the times of El Shaddai. That's where he started the Lion Cage. I understand, but he did three times. We learn it from there. We see that people were doing the daven even before. I'm okay with thinking that Shaul HaMelech was on the level to daven three times a day also, and David and Yonatan. Okay, but here we go. But Yom HaLinau, he said to his kid, so run and go find the arrows that I'm going to shoot. And our rots, the kid ran, and he shot the arrow to pass him by. Now, I don't know if that's a very safe thing to do. The kid is running and he's shooting arrows into the air at that time. It's like a William Tell type of thing. I'm not so sure. That's like the best thing to be able to do over here. But Yavon Arad Makom Achetzi. So the kid came to the place where the arrow was. I sure Yori Yonas and Yonas and it shot. The Yikrius and Acharya Narva Yomer. Halo Achetzi Mimchavahola. Isn't the arrow a little bit further? Get it, David? Do you understand that? Obviously, that was the sign, right? And that was in order to make sure. Now, remember, he had promised that he was going to shoot three arrows. He didn't. He only shot one. The reason why. The second and third arrow were only there if David Melech didn't get it the first or the second time. Well, my wife was pregnant with Ruby, and she was 9.5 months, and she was already 2 weeks overdue, and it was Yom Kippur. So I was davening the shul, but I had a phone in the shul that if anything happened, we had a non-Jew staying in the house, that non-Jew would call me up on my phone. I put it on one beep, my phone. And middle of Mi'ilah, I got a one beep, okay? And then about a minute later, I got another one beep. Because you got to check. What if you missed the first one? You got to try a second time. What?
What's his call?
I knew what it was about. So I ran home, took my wife to the hospital. Ruby's born. Yeah, I just use it as basically like, come home. What?
Street for empty?
Yeah, let me tell you. The one thing that's not easy to do is running in time. No. Come on.
Oh, it's emergency.
Yeah.
You didn't drive?
No, with Israel. Oh, no. When I got to the house, but I ran from the yeshiva.
Sure,
I ran from the yeshiva to my house. I'm telling you, it's not easy to run in slippers and your suit. I was also wearing my kittel at the time, right? While fasting. Yeah, that was okay though. I was excited. Okay, here we go.
It was like 3 minutes straight.
No, 32 seconds. I ran 6 miles. All right, so here we go. But Yavonar, as I said, it's further from you. So either way, he said he was going to shoot three. The only way he was going to shoot three is if he didn't get the clear message from the first one. Okay, he wanted to make sure that he got the message. Got the message on the first shot, and everything's okay. If David Melech gave a little thumbs up sign from the side, he's like, all right, we're good at that one, and that's perfectly fine. Others say he did shoot a couple other arrows. There's a couple others. But Yikra Yonas and Akwaya Nar called out after the youth, Mehera Husha Al Talmud.
It does say, so, plural.
Yeah. Yeah, so it does sound like
maybe he shot three arrows at once. It was really good.
Oh, that's pretty good. That would be awesome. While the kid was running in the field, he's like, watch out!
It was like Robin Hood or whatever it was.
Yeah, that would be good stuff. Nehira Hushal Tomo, be quick, quickly, do not delay. But like an hour, your owner's in a defensive day. He came back to his master. And I will yell to him over. The kid had no idea. I told him to David, Yodu was it ever. They knew exactly what was going on, and they all knew what was going to be over here. It could be that David Melech himself was, that Yonason was testing God to see if this was a sign that David Melech should go further or return. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to send him a sign the other way. He wanted to see what was going to happen. If the arrows miraculously landed before the Nahr, and the Nahr had to come back to go get them, then that would show David Melech doesn't have to leave. Even though it seemed like he had to leave, maybe that's what it's supposed to be. So he tried to do it through these types of things. Okay, so there were little signs over here. So he gave all his stuff over to the kid, Asher Lo. But Yomelo Lechav Yair, go back to the city. Bring this to the city. Hanar Bav, David Kamei Eitzel HaNegev. So David Melech came from the southern side. Yibol Af of Arzen, he bowed down to his face to the ground. Yishtachu Shosh Bam, he bowed down three times. Yishku Ish Yisrael, and they each kissed each other. Yivku Ish Yisrael, Ad David Yigdil. They cried, each man, until David Melech cried more than anything else. So hold on a second.
Doesn't he mean he stopped crying?
What?
He succeeded.
Yeah, he did more. No?
I always understood it as meaning
I think that's why. Hold on. The question is obvious. If David and Yonatan in any case met and spoke together, what was the point of shooting the arrows and signaling by calling out to you? However, seems that even now, Yonatan was not intending to come together with David. Yet he suspected that David might not be able to resist their speaking to one another before parting. And that's why he sent his servant away. Once he saw it, Yonatan was so convinced nothing else would happen. He was fine with it. But at the end of the day, he realized David Melech was not going to just go away. He was going to go up to Yonatan, and Yonatan realized that was going to be very dangerous. So he immediately sent away the kid, and then David Melech, who had come up right behind, the kid missed him somehow, right? He realized that was going to happen, meaning it was not on purpose. It was not on purpose, and it wasn't meant to be, but Yonatan saw what was about to happen and realized that he had to send the kid in. Otherwise, he would have just gone up to David Melech in the first place. Okay, yeah.
That would just say bye.
What?
David Melech just had to say bye to him.
He's weeping over
him.
That's really what it is. But immediately, Yonatan, David, shalom, go in peace right now. You're crying too much. People are going to overhear you. They're going to hear what's going on. They're going to wonder what's happening. We have both sworn in the name of God, saying, that God should be between us for all time. So therefore, because of that, they said, listen, this is the way it's supposed to be. Even though Yonatan realized he was thus basically signing his own death warrant, knowing that David Melech is going to be up in charge next, and knowing that Shlomo Melech was going to chase after
him. Yonatan didn't kill himself or wasn't killed by the police, however he ended up dying. Maybe Yonatan would have been a general or a big
officer. He definitely would have been. He would have been the Binyamin of Yehuda's army. He would have been, you know, the main guy, the second in command. He knew something was up. He knew something was going to happen. It's a really, really good call, but it seems like he knew that something was going to be. But how can be like Yonatan bought here? So he got up and he left.
Maybe David cursed him by saying,
he did curse him.
As long as David is alive, you'll want
to. No, but he already cursed him before. He already knew that he was going to die from the honey. Yonatan bought here, Yonatan came back to the city. Yavod David Nova, Alachi Melech HaKohen. So now he's in the city of Nov. Achi Melech the Kohen Gadol. The Akbar Achi Melech requests David. So Achi Melech was so scared to see David. He was told, Madua told about Dechva Yishen Yitach. David, you're the general of an army. Where's your army? Why is nobody else with you? He was shocked. What was he afraid of? He didn't know that David Melech was made king, nor did he know that Sholem Melech hated David Melech. All he knew was, if a guy is on his own and he's supposed to be the head of the army, something's wrong. He must have just lost in a terrible battle. That's the idea behind it. There's something crazy over here. Now, there is one thing that was wrong with the way that Yonatan just left David Melech the way he did. He didn't give him any food. No provisions. No food. No water. No anything.
No. That wasn't part of the plan. He went out to shoot an arrow, and if he would have brought food, something would have been up.
Yonatan had to be discreet, as this meeting with David certainly did entail great danger, and if anybody saw it was going to be really, really, really bad.
David
should have
brought food with him.
Nonetheless, you have the halacha of Leviyah. Should have given him something or done something with it.
He said, go in peace. He gave him a bracha.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
He supposed to bring stuff? If he was so scared about that he was using these signs.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that way. In the end, though, David Melch did get a great hunger. It's called Bulmus. And he was literally dying. He was extremely worried about what was going to happen to David Melch. And that was there. Now, David Melch did want to hear what the Urim Tum had to say. Although you're not allowed to ask the Urim Tum for something unless you are a king, David Melch felt he was the king right now. And he had to ask something from the Urim Tum.
You weren't supposed to ask like personal stuff either.
Well, if you're the king, you can.
Even if you're the king?
If you're the king can ask anything he wants. But he couldn't ask them to ask the Urim Tum, and nobody knew he was king. So what happened? The king has commanded me to do something. I mean, he's referring to himself. The king is me. The king has commanded me to do something. No man should know of the matter that I am sending you to do. That which I have commanded you to do. As for all my men, I send them over to a different place. That's what David Melch said over there. And he answered, that's the reason why I've come by myself. That's all my what do you have for you? Can you give me 5 loaves of bread? Or whatever you have. Anything that you have, I'll be able to take. He said it very, very hurriedly. And the reason why he said it in such a quick way is because he was worried. If anybody saw him talking to Achimelech, then Achimelech would be in grave danger for harboring such a person. He couldn't tell Achimelech that he was in trouble, but he couldn't get away. He was starving. He needed to get something whatsoever. Now, there was Lechem Hapanim that was there in that area. Okay? The Lechem Hapanim was there. Obviously, they were taken off every Shabbos and replaced every Shabbos, and that was there. They brought in the Ketores, they brought in whatever it was, and that's what they ended up doing. David asked for 5 ordinary breads, but the only thing that Achimelech had was the Lechem Hapanim. He had nothing else there.
Because it was Shabbos that was dead.
I'm sorry?
It was Shabbos that was dead.
If it was on Shabbos, it would make a lot of sense. But Achimelech said, listen, I normally can't give it to you, but number one, you're taller. And number two, right, you're starving. And therefore, the Lechem Hapanim could be eaten by you just because of that. So that's what he said. He said, can I have those loaves of bread? I don't have any mundane bread under my hands. Kiyim Lechem Kodesh, only the holy bread. Yesh. Im Nishman Armach Meisha. If all of your men have been careful for being together with a woman and they're not Tomei, then I've got that for you and I have the ability to be able to give it to you. He said, listen, you I can give to. I have no problems with you. But the people that are with you, I'm a little bit worried about that. You cannot even Tomei Lechem Hapanim over there. But he thought maybe he was bringing bread to other people somewhere else. Yeah.
I remember hearing that. You take one bite and you're satisfied.
Maybe the Kohanim. It might not have happened at all times, although that's a great call. The Kohanim usually were like that. Yeah, 100%. It's a Gemara in Yuma. He does not answer that, though. Yeah, I don't think they answer that. Okay, yeah, that's not why he doesn't answer that question. That's a good question, though. That's a great question. But Yan David the Kohen, by Yomelo, King Isha Tsura Lanu Kismosho Shom. We've been held back from women for a while now. But Tazi, when I left. But you play in Aram Kodesh, all the Kalim of the Aram HaKodesh, who Dara Kol, right? But the road is a little bit cold. The Afya Yom Yikdash Bekeli. All the more so, if we have holy bread, then we'll take care of ourselves. We won't have to worry about it whatsoever. So that's what he was trying to say. He's saying, we have not been together anywhere. Okay, so that's that. So that's that. That is that. Okay, some say that he arrived on Shabbos, David HaMelech. And that's what he's asking. Now, Vayitin Lo HaKohen Kodesh, Kilei Shem Lechem Kin Lechem Hapanim. The Kohen gave him the Kodesh because there was no other bread there but the Lechem Hapanim. Hamusar Milfin Hashem, they were put in front of the table of Hashem, Vasum Lechem Chom, Biyomi Lecho. So you could put other warm bread there on the day that it was taken away. And that's the idea behind it of what it was supposed to be. Okay, now, the city of Nob only had Kohanim. They were very, very special holy people. These were people who all ate Truma, who all ate challah, who all ate meiser. They were extremely holy people and Kodesh the entire time, and that's that. They would go there in order to serve their avoda, and they would go home. Eventually, they went to whatever home they had in order to be together with their wives. The only person who really never left was Achimelech. Achimelech, although he was married, pretty much never went home because he was always tahor for the possibility that they would need a kohen gadol for any type of situation in that staff. Okay, so he was there at all times.
He could never be with his wife?
He was allowed to, but it was a problem that if he did, then he wouldn't be able to go to the, he had to go to the mikvah that day, and he wouldn't be available for that day of service. Achimelech may have been machmer on himself. It could be his wife was dead, but then he wouldn't be the Kohen Gadol anymore, because the Kohen Gadol must be married.
Well, there was always a scan. It would switch off.
No, they wouldn't switch off unless they had to.
Right, so if he was, right, that's what I mean. He's the Kohen Gadol now.
If there was a situation where they needed it, then yes, he could switch off, but he didn't do it on purpose. Meaning, allowing yourself to be taken down from your position was not a l'chachila. They didn't want
but
to
they
be
had to do it.
But obviously, in order to be home, there was a way of being able to do it. Okay, that's that.
Wait, Rabbi Yom is not allowed to eat kosher. He's not allowed to do anything in the Beis Mikdash.
There are certain things he's able to do, but he's not allowed to do anything in the Beis Mikdash. No, he cannot eat truma until that night. Not allowed to eat kosher until the next morning.
Eat, but can he do anything? Is it Tzvul Yom Midrabanan?
Service, I think he might be able to do. Tzvul Yom could do the Paraduma. The Paraduma Ash is not allowed to do. Right? There's a couple other things he's allowed to do, but I don't think you're able to do
that. The Kohen Gadol did every day?
Not if you're Tzvul Yom. Not anything like that, because that means you have to go into the Kodesh. So you wouldn't be able to do that. Okay, that's that.
Something that's the last 100.
Yeah.
Achimelech, or his name Achimelech.
Yeah.
If he's assuming that David's with an army, then he's going to need, even split up one piece is going to involve, one loaf of bread. I guess it's just a cover up.
Cover up. Not bad. Not bad. Pasuk Chet. Vishom Ish Me'av Shol. Now, there was a man who was one of the servants of Shol. By Yom HaRuah, that day, Netzalot Me'Hashem, he was held back from before God. Ushmo, that's a weird wording, isn't it? Shmo Doeg Adomi. His name was Doeg the Edomite. Abir Aroin, he was the strongest of the shepherds, Asher L'Shol, that belonged to Shaul HaMelech. Okay, now this is the bad thing over here. He was the head of the Sanhedrin. The reason why he was there is because since the Mizbeach was there and the Mishkan was there, that's where Sanhedrin sat. The Sanhedrin was right outside of that area. Now, Doeg HaDomi, although he was a mad genius and extremely wise in the ways of Torah, nonetheless, he had a very, very evil heart and he liked to speak Lashon Hara. He was a very, very special
person.
He was a very, very brilliant man.
Please. If he's such a brilliant and terrible person, you can find somebody else to take his place. There's a lot of other holy Jews.
No question. Nonetheless, somehow, Doeg HaDomi had convinced everyone how great he was. Notice, by the way, Doeg is also the gematria of David. Somehow, there's a connection between the two of them. But Doeg HaDomi was a...
Being worried?
Doeg, yeah.
Yeah, but Doeg is a chaser vav.
I'm sorry?
Doeg is a chaser
vav. Only here. In most places, he's got the vav. It's only over here. When we mentioned him earlier, it was that. There are simple reasons over here why he's called HaDomi. Some say he lived in an area that belonged to the Edomite nation. Others say that Edom was the name of the city where he was coming from, right? Or you could say that he was completely jealous of David HaMelech, who is called Ha'admoni. Remember, he was red all over David HaMelech, and therefore he was jealous of the Admonite. That's that. Others say because he spilled the blood of the people that were in Nob. Others say that he was responsible for giving Michal over to Palti ben Laish and causing them to possibly be over on Achiv Misa by sleeping with an Ashes Ish. Okay, there's a lot of stuff behind
that. The Pashmash is from Edom.
Yeah, I mean, that's the obvious shot, right? Others say that he did not spill the blood of, what's his name, Agag. Remember, he was the one who convinced Shaul not to kill Agag and everything like that.
After making all these mistakes, I mean, you know, Shmuel already admonished Shaul for not doing that, so wouldn't he think that, wouldn't Shaul demote him or something?
In a way. I mean, who knows? Yes, he made mistakes, but remember, Shaul HaMelech himself had made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, but he
Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the beginning, Hashem was Doeg worried about this person that he would go astray. When he did corrupt his talents, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, woe that such a person had to be created. And thus, his name is sometimes Doeg with an Aleph, sometimes Doeg with a Yud. And that's the reason why. Doeg means Yud Bav, like Oi. Joyeg Oi. That's such a person had to be
either. Did he die already or no?
I'm sorry?
Shmuel died already. Yeah. Just need to give his last.
Shmuel's not dead yet. Want to hear something crazy? A medrash? The reason why he became evil is because when Doeg HaDomi learned and davened, he sometimes had to go to the bathroom. And instead of going to the bathroom first, he held it in and davened and learned while he had to go to the bathroom. And that's what made him an evil person. That unbelievable? And that's what it means, that he held himself back by Hashem. You see that? Natsar with Hashem. He held himself back in front of Hashem. And the Medrash is, he held himself back from going to the bathroom when standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shmona Esrei. What an unbelievable Medrash, isn't it? Teaches you a little bit. Do you have a spear or a sword? I didn't take my sword nor my kelim. Because he had to go very, very quickly. So by Yom HaKohen, hey, I've got the sword of Goliath HaPlishti that you had killed in the Valley of Elah. Alright, it's there, wrapped in a cloth, right behind the curtains over there. If you want to take that for yourself, call. There's no other sword that compares to it. There's nothing like it.
Why was it there?
Titanali, give it to me. Remember, we had already said, David HaMelech had taken the stuff that he had gotten from Goliath, and had given over to the Kohanim at Nov as a remembrance, as a zecher to the great victory that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had wrought for them over there.
Yeah, but it's got to be like some sort of form of Avodah Zarah. I mean, this is a guy that was revered in...
Yeah, but this is the sword that...
This is the sword that...
Yeah, but he was destroyed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say that this is an unlucky sword.
No.
Right? Because it killed his own master.
It's showing that God was able to destroy such a big guy, and this is just showing everybody, look, this is the sword of that guy.
Yeah.
We were able to do...
That's how I would say something like that. Well, maybe.
It's a...
It is interesting. David HaMelech got up and ran away from Shaul. He went to Achish, the king of Gath. Okay, so Achimelech assured David HaMelech everything was going to be okay and encouraged him. Some say that he did ask the Urim V'Tumim about him, and he said that he should go to Gath, and that was the city that he should go to. At that point, right, although it was a hard place to go because Gath was the area of the Plishtim, David HaMelech realized he had no other place to go. Mamish, no other place to go. And that's that. There's a crazy little thing over here. Okay? David Melch is going to pretend to be mad. We'll see. By Yom Rav the Achish, the servants of Achish said to him, Hello, Zed, David Melch Haaretz. Wait, isn't that David? The leader of the land? Isn't that David over there? Hello, Zed, Yanu B'Makolos Lemor Yikashol B'Alof David Revosa. This is the guy that they sing about him saying that Shaul has slain thousands, but David killed tens of thousands. He went to the area thinking that nobody would know who he was and nobody would say anything, but somebody recognized him. And the bodyguards all ran up to Achish and said, that's the one who killed our brother. Referring to Yishbi Benov and all the Madon and all the other giants. He said, that's the guy. Right? That's the guy that we're talking about over here. But Yasin David is a Devarim the Eila Bovavo. David Melech put all these words into his heart. He realized what was going on here. By Yeremot, he got very afraid when they Achish Melagash because he was afraid that Achish the king of Gash was going to kill him. So when he heard that there was Goliath's brothers that were right there, now he's really scared because what sword was he holding? Goliath's sword. So, by Yeshana was Tamo Be'enayim. He made himself look mad in their eyes. He told the other, and he started playing with them. Okay, what did he do? By Yisav al Balsu Sashar, he started drawing on the doors of the gate. By Yorid Rirol Zakano, and he allowed dribble, you know, just regular spit going down onto his beard. He convinced him of his insanity, and he wrote crazy things all over the place. He made Tiruish Mishnagei. You're seeing a man that's crazy. Love it to be also Eli. Why should you bring him to me? Do I not have enough crazy fools in my kingdom? You're bringing this crazy guy upon me? Basically, you think this guy will come into my house? Nobody had any idea that Shaul HaMelech was chasing David HaMelech. So he's like, what the heck is David HaMelech doing here by himself? You really think that David HaMelech is sitting in my house and he's all the way in Gush by himself? This guy's clearly mad. There's something wrong over here. You guys are crazy for thinking it's like that. And that's that. Unbelievable, isn't it? Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
I heard what the man said. Aren't there enough crazy people in the kingdom that he had a daughter who was...
The Midrash tells us that Achish's wife and daughter were both crazy.
Why would he
and
marry his wife?
Well, no, she went crazy at some point, yeah. Well, I don't know. But either way, do you think I don't know what insanity is? Achish heard his wife and daughter screaming inside the house and dove it outside of it. He's like, what, I need another one? My gosh, I have enough of these people over here. I don't have to have anything more. And that's the idea behind it. So he kept doing it on purpose, and that was that. He ran up. By the way, there's another thing that happens over here that in Sanhedrin that says that Yishpita knows caught David HaMelech at this point. Others say that it happened later on when Abishag and Tzruya is there, but there's a lot of crazy stuff that happened at this moment. We'll get to that a little bit later. There's an ancient medrash that says it happened now in Gath and not later on when everybody says it.
David's enemy too, at times.
Abishag? No, Abishag's not an enemy.
Oh, that's yours.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go. We have a couple minutes over here. Let's go. So David HaMelech escaped. He went to the cave of Adullam. His father, his brother. No. Adullam. Yish Adullam.
From Adullam.
Yeah, maybe that is the right place. Either way, his family heard about it and they said, okay, we got to go help him. So they all ran down to where David HaMelech was to go help him. All those who were oppressed came to David HaMelech. Anybody who had, you know, debt. I mean, they wanted to get out of taxes, right? So they ran away. Holy smart enough, anybody who was embittered to the soul by Yaleam Lassar. He became their leader, but Yuimo Ka'arbam Yosish, he had about 400 men that were able to come with him, and they were the people who were bitter. They were pressed. Some say that when it means they were pressed spiritually. They wanted to hear something. David Malach had a great voice. He was a Karlbach of his day, just a little bit holier, tiny little bit holier. When I say a little bit, I mean entirely, right? And David Malach was able to learn with all of them, and they all became extremely high individuals. We're not talking about just people that are evil. He's telling them how to do tshuva and how to act as good people. And then he went to the fields of Moab. Let my father and my mother stay with you until I know what God wants for me. He put them in front of the king of Moab. And they lived with him all the days that David HaMelech was in the stronghold. Whenever David HaMelech needed something, that's where he went. Do you guys see this little map over here? He went from Gath. Now here's Givon, Givas Shol. That's where he was by Nov, right? He went all the way to Gath, and then from Gath he went to Adullam, right around there. Here's Chavron. Yerushalayim is probably around here somewhere, if I'm correct. Yerushalayim is probably around there somewhere. He went straight down through the areas of Ein Gedi. What?
Near where Joel is.
It should be over here. No, because that's in Yemen.
Oh,
Yavus might be Yerushalayim. That could very well be. And then he went all the way down. David brings his parents to Moab. He went across the Dead Sea and brought them over to where they were on the other side of Moab over there. It says, Vayomer, where are we over here? Vayomer God Anavi El David HaMelech. Okay, so now here we go. Vayomer God Anavi El Melech. So somehow God Anavi realized what was going to happen. Said, Lo Seisha Bamatsuda. Don't stay where you are. Lechu Basalukha Eretz Yudah. Go back to the land of Yudah. Vayomer God Anavi El Yar Chores. And he went to the forest of Chores. God knew that the Moabite king was about to betray David HaMelech. He was worried, right, that the Moabite king, that if David HaMelech was found out eventually, that he was hiding David HaMelech, and David would lose to Shaul HaMelech, which was likely at the time, then he would be the one killed. He went to Shaul HaMelech, and he wanted to go tell him immediately where he was. Okay, so immediately, David HaMelech ran away, and as soon as he did so, the Moabite king ordered that David's parents and his brothers would be put to death. Only one brother managed to escape, and that's Elihu. Every other one of David HaMelech's family, including the great man Yishai, were all killed in that area completely. The only one survived, Elihu, went to David.
Why did he have to have such a bad death? I mean, yeah, he needs to die, but why does he need to be like that? Why does he need to be murdered?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. David HaMelech was able to hide in that area of Yehuda, and that did work out for him because God and Avi told him to do it. Why didn't God and Avi tell him to, should we stop there? Why didn't God and Avi tell him to go save his family? Yeah, that we don't know. But the Nevuah is a Nevuah. For some reason, our Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted him to die in that area. There's nothing he can do about that. A Nevuah is a Nevuah.
Was David's family with him after that?
No, they stayed in Moab, and they were killed by the king of Moab.
Why were they, David brought them with him?
They ran to David knowing that they wanted to help David HaMelech and thinking that maybe Shaul HaMelech was going to kill him. So that was the idea behind it.